US citizens need to understand they cannot ignore conflict in Ukraine. We are, if US will ignore this conflict, will be blind and do nothing, that will, and Russians will come here, and then they will occupy Ukraine, that will completely change situation in security issue in all Europe.
Welcome, everybody, to Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Newman, and we have a special guest for you today coming to you live from Kiev in Ukraine. His name is Pastor Anton Kaluzhny. He's the son of a pastor, and he grew up during the collapsing of the Soviet system in Ukraine, or at least the ostensible collapsing. He's got a master's degree in economy. In 2014, during the so-called Maidan Revolution, he decided to dedicate the rest of his life to Christian ministry and also to the fight for Ukrainian independence. He's very involved with his church right now and also with other Ukrainian ministries, and they're helping to coordinate humanitarian aid and support for various things in eastern Ukraine, including churches. Pastor Anton, thank you very much for joining us. You know, I want to start with just some tough questions for you, because we're getting a lot of different information coming out of Ukraine and Russia, and it's very hard for average Americans who aren't there to know who's telling the truth. And so my first question for you is the Russian government lying about what they're doing? I mean, they said they had to go protect Russian-speaking minorities in eastern Ukraine. Is that true? And you know, they say they have to go stop Nazis in Ukraine, that the NATO is pushing up right up to their border. What do you think about the Russian narrative? And what proof is there that that the Russians are lying?
The answer is easy and complicated, both. Yeah, it's very hard to answer because there are so many things that they are lying. Like, do you remember a situation in 2014 when they were lying about MH17, that airplane that they hit on above Donbass? And they continued lying about that we are Nazi. They continue to lie that we are against Russian language, and they do a lot of small things, small lies, and it's very hard to fight with all of them. And what I see very useful, if you really want to understand where is the truth and who is lying, you need to understand backstory of what's going on here during last at least 100 years. And if you understand the main narrative of things that going on here, you start to put all that fragments, all that separate stories together, and you understand that Russia is a big empire and that Ukraine used to be colony for 300 years. They do everything possible to destroy this nation 65 times. They forbid Ukrainian language during last 250 years. Ukrainian language were forbidden in school, publishing, in universities, in like everywhere, in public life, in book publishing. So they made everything to destroy this nation. So what if you have bigger picture, you start to see that all this small lies, they are part of bigger narrative, and you have to understand bigger backstory to understand various truths. So yeah, that's my answer.
Very good. Well, you know, I think a lot of people in the United States, myself included, are concerned about the Ukrainian government as well. You know, a lot of us, I think, don't really trust Putin, don't really like Putin, obviously a former KGB guy. But then you look at the Ukrainian leadership, and we see a president who is radically in favor of abortion, who believes that only the police and the military should have guns. You know, in America, that's something that makes us recoil in horror. We have a God-given right to keep and bear arms. you know, they also, I guess the president seems to be pretty pro LGBT. And so there's these demands that America go and send military aid and get involved on behalf of Ukraine. But, you know, what do you say about people who are concerned about President Zelensky and some of the things he says and does?
Alex, very good question. How you know everything? How you know all details? Yeah. Let me maybe a little bit expand. Our government, they're not holy. And we know it. In Ukraine, we have a very strong civil society. We have a lot of organization. Very strong civil society. And we know how to do pressure on our government. And our government knows that we can do pressure on them. During our last 30 years history, we had 3 revolutions. So we know what to do with the government that don't listen of their people. And but our current president, I think he is still, there are ways how to pressure him. And he's flexible. And he can change his position. And we saw it many times how he changed his position. So you mentioned about weapon story. And now, last information is that government and parliament will vote for legalization of weapon in January.
Hmm.
Yeah, so he's flexible. They are listening. And if we give a public society, give arguments, and very strong arguments. President is listening. He knows that he's there for a short time. We are not Russia. They know that they come here, come to power just for 5 years or maximum 10 years. During this 30 years, we had 5 presidents. Zelensky is number 5. So they know that they will go. And that's why they try to listen.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you've seen with the war. Like I said when I introduced you, I know you're involved in coordinating some of the humanitarian and relief efforts involving the churches between Eastern Ukraine and Western Ukraine. What are you seeing? What is the sense among Christians there? How is the church involved in all of this? And how should Christians be thinking about this conflict? I think in America, in the church, there's a lot of confusion. There's really a lot of aloofness. You know, it's not our conflict. We really don't need to be involved in that. How should Christians be thinking about this? And what is going on with the church in Ukraine right now?
Oh, that is a huge question, Alex. Church role now and here is a huge, because we have a lot of evangelical churches in Ukraine, over than 7,000 churches, and they are all over Ukraine. So it's very organic and natural network. All denominations working together. So if I want to reach any city in Ukraine, it will take like 20 minutes to find pastor from that city. And we try to be connected and to see where is the need and to be effective in this work. So yeah, first what I want to say, church show, like we saw church like a very strong network. And we saw it very, very strongly during evacuation. Can you imagine, like during 1 week, more than 10 million people left their homes in East and they went to West Ukraine. And a lot of that work was done by believers, by churches, because churches open the doors. They are already organized structures, and they organize shelters, they organize food, because they have teams, they have pastors, they have people, and they know what is ministry, and they used to it. And during like the first months of war, church was like was like on a stage. Everyone saw that church. All churches are very active. This is first thing. Second thing, for most of churches, it's very painful time of transition, of rethinking. In Soviet time, we used to be, most of the churches used to be underground churches and pacifist. Because living in aggressive Soviet Union, you cannot be part of aggressive empire army.
Mm.
And now church sees that actually church is a part of Ukrainian nation. And Christians and believers see that aggressor is coming and we are victims. And church start to rethink all the pacifist ideas. And like now, like one of the top books that people are reading is Bonhoeffer, his biography or his
Dietrich
book.
Bonhoeffer, right? The guy who stood up against the Nazi regime in Germany.
Exactly, because he was talking and he was thinking about how we can face evil. We cannot ignore evil. We cannot be holy Christians who just are praying. If we do nothing to stop evil, we become part of problem and part of evil. So most of people start to understand that it's like most of churches and believers start to understand that we need to be active in this process. And yeah, some for example, in our church, more than 30 people are drafted. And they're
drafted
part of
to the military.
Yeah, they're soldier. We still have draft system.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone can be drafted. I can be drafted tomorrow. So like or day after tomorrow or in a week. So everyone, like, it's very interesting process of rethinking. I think it started in 2014, and now it's obvious to everyone that we cannot be passive. We need to act and very strongly, and voice of church need to be loud, and we need to be like to say what is black and what is white, and where is truth and where is lie, and what is evil. And who is aggressor? And that's part of role.
So how do Christians in America think about this, Pastor? You know, I've raised the alarm about the Russian Orthodox Church for many years. In fact, I did a big piece in 2014 with my colleague Bill Jasper, showing that the head of the Russian Orthodox Church is actually a former KGB agent. So, you know, I have my suspicions about the Russian Orthodox Church, but at least ostensibly, the Russian government is Christian, and you know, they claim to have approval of the church. And so, you know, for an outsider looks at this, they say, look, it's a Christian nation against a Christian. And I was in Ukraine a few years ago, and it's just like the rest of Europe. You know, every town is built around a church. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful country, wonderful people. But, you know, how does a Christian from outside of Russia and Ukraine look at this and determine who's right, who's wrong? You know, should we be involved as a church, as a nation, as individuals? You know, and I understand from your perspective, it's easy. You're Ukrainian and, you know, it's your country was invaded. I get it. But somebody outside of the conflict, somebody looking from the outside, how should they look at this?
Okay, yeah. You mentioned a lot of things. So let's start from Russian Orthodox Church.
Mm.
Yes, it's true. But he is not former KGB. He is
current KGB.
He's still KGB person.
Mm. Patriarch Kirill. Yep.
And Kirill. And we have no doubt about this. Absolutely no doubt. Because here in Ukraine, we have also Russian Orthodox Church. And we can see and we know all the stories how Russian military are hiding in a basement of the churches. We know stories how, like, I saw how Russian Orthodox priests were arrested because he was artillery fire, like a corrector of artillery fire in north.
A Russian Orthodox priest?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Oh. So we understand that in Russia, Orthodox Church is part of their government system.
Mm.
And that is just one of the tools. But to understand how it works, it's very important to understand the idea of Third Rome. Did you heard about the idea of Third Rome? They call that Moscow is like a kind of a Third Rome. So when church was established, when church was created, there was first Rome. And role of Rome church was to protect God's values, God's principles, and God's kingdom from influence of this world. But first Rome collapsed. And second Rome became Constantinople, Istanbul. And that was the role of, same role was of Constantinople, to protect God's kingdom, God's principles from all evil in this world. But second Rome also collapsed. And now is a golden hour of the third Rome. And Moscow is a third Rome. And they have huge mission in this world to protect real, pure Christian values from all evil Western influence. So that's what they believe. And that's how they build their propaganda. And that's what they're saying, like saying, talking from all TV stations, from all radio. And they're blind. They don't want to see that Russian civil society is very unjust. And there are so many evil in their like they're very aggressive, no court system, unjust society, and blah 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 blah. But they see that they try to find this bigger mission to fight. So this idea of third Rome is very strong in Russian mind, and that gives to Russians like bigger mission, you know, in their mind. If big nation got a big mission, like in German mindset of Nazi, yeah, big nation got a big mission, so they have same, and they use same logic, and it works for both for evangelical believers in Russia and for Orthodox believers in Russia. Here in Ukraine we think differently. So
very good. Well, we're pretty much out of time, Pastor, but any concluding remarks, any words of wisdom, anything else that you think Americans need to know about the conflict that's raging? And also I'll point out that you were recommended to me very highly by a brother in Poland, a man who I know really loves the Lord, born in Ukraine, but used to be Jewish and then met Christ. And so that's how you and I connected. You know, I trust him implicitly. But any final words of wisdom you have for Americans or anything else you think they need to know?
Yes. I think U.S. citizens need to understand they cannot ignore conflict in Ukraine. We are, if U.S. will ignore this conflict, will be blind and do nothing, that will, and Russians will come here, and then they will occupy Ukraine, that will completely change situation in security issue in all Europe, and in all world will be much more chaos and uncertainty. All other smaller dictators will stand up and understand that they can do everything because Putin can do everything what he wants. And when last Ukrainian soldier will fall down, the time will come for Europeans to fight. And I'm not sure that they will be fighting because they are very individualistic. Mm. And here people are not so individualistic. They are ready to sacrifice. And for Europeans, for Western Europeans, it will be harder to fight. So I want to ask, don't ignore. Don't be blind. If you will be blind, this world will become much more chaos and much more uncertain. Yeah.
Very good. Well, Pastor, we want to thank you for spending some time with us. I know it's a lot going on in Ukraine right now. We appreciate very much you coming on. Appreciate your humanitarian relief efforts and sharing with us. Please keep us updated on what's happening. We'd love to have you back. And all the Christians in America, I hope, are praying for Christians all over the world, especially in Ukraine. You guys are in our prayers, and we wish you well. So God bless you, Pastor. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alrighty, folks. That was Pastor Anton Kalushny. He is a pastor. He's in Kiev right now, and he is helping to coordinate relief efforts for churches in eastern Ukraine and other issues. So thanks for tuning in, folks. I am Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter for the New American Magazine. Till next time, God bless you all.